You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If you've ever been to a Broadway show when that dreaded announcement is made, at tonight's performance, the role of leading man will be played by someone you've never heard of. There's a new documentary film that you should see. The Standbys follows the careers of three Broadway hopefuls who found themselves waiting in the wings every night, hoping for calamity to befall one of the show's stars so they could go on. The film opens at the Quad Cinema this Friday, and I'm very pleased that it brings the film's director, Stephanie Riggs, to our show today, along with two of those standbys, Ben Crawford and Elena Waters. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephanie, what brought you to the subject? Had you worked in the theater?
I actually have a background in theater. I studied directing at Carnegie Mellon University, and theater is a hard place to make a living in. So, you know, I had done a little bit of theater before, but when I saw these understudies and standbys perform in a little black box theater and their voices just blow you away, along with the horrific stories of having to go on with no rehearsal or maybe in a role that they weren't even cast for, the talent, the perseverance, the great attitude were just inspiring, and it's a story I wanted to share.
And how did you wind up choosing the standbys that you focus on the film? In addition to Ben and Elena, you also feature Merwin Ford.
Merwin Ford, yes.
Ford. He spells his name F-O-A-R-D.
He does, yes. He is currently in rehearsals for Aladdin, the musical, which will be opening soon. I have a narrative background. So when I started approaching the story, I knew that I wanted to focus on three different characters, one being an ingenue that anybody who doesn't know about Broadway can see the world through their eyes and see what a magnificent challenge and the glory of Broadway. And that was Elena Waters. And to contrast that, I wanted somebody that was a professional, that had been doing it for years and years. And Merwin Ford is a phenomenally talented actor as well, who's been a standby or understudy for decades. And
30 years or more.
Yes, yes. And been able to go through the ups and downs and maintain a positive attitude and the changes and challenges of decades of different types of Broadway shows coming through. So I had those two. And then I wanted somebody that was what I call in their second act. Something was about to happen to them so that we would have a documentary where something happens. And Ben was at that time the standby for Brian D'Arcy James in Shrek. And he was about to take over the lead role when Brian was leaving the show. So I approached each of them, and they very graciously and bravely agreed to be part of the documentary.
Elena, how old were you when you got into the business?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've been singing ever since I exited the womb. But semi-professionally since I was 10.
You were an understudy in a production of Annie?
Yes, I was. I was Where Annie's
was
understudy when I was 10. I was Tessie in Annie's understudy.
But you also had a smaller role in the show?
Yeah, Tessie, which is, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness.
So that's not unusual. I often see, in case of something, the role of the star will be played by somebody who is now has a lesser role in the show.
Yes, that's the understudy, correct.
And so every night when you went out there and the other person was doing Annie, you were also watching and thinking, someday I'll be doing that?
Oh, sure. I mean, well, they didn't really rehearse me very well, so I'm really grateful I never had to go on. but absolutely. I mean, Annie, it's iconic. It's most little girls, you know, dream to play. And so I definitely had that dream to be the...
When you came to New York, you were a standby for the role of Anita in West Side Story.
That's correct. My Broadway debut.
How many times did you go on in that show?
I never went on. It was a very strange situation where I was covering for somebody who was injured, one of the understudies, because they didn't have a standby. And so when the understudy swing went on, and then I came in very briefly. I was there for less than 3 weeks.
Well, okay, Stephanie, mm-hmm. Let's have a little defining here. What's the difference between a standby, an understudy, and a swing?
Excellent question. I think most people are familiar with an understudy, which is somebody that has a role in the show and they understudy a lead role. So if that lead goes out, they will move up and play that role in the play.
And then a standby will take over their role?
A standby is actually stands by every night waiting in the wings and never goes on unless the lead is not available to make it. So a standby is there every night backstage, not performing. It's a non-performing understudy, whereas the understudy is on stage every night in the chorus or in a lesser role, and they step up into the lead role. Now, when that understudy steps up into the lead role, somebody's got to cover that role that they were playing, and those are your swings. And the Swings understudy multiple roles. I've heard up to 17 different roles in a show.
Uh-huh. So they really have to know the whole show by heart.
They need to know not only the music, the choreography. They need to know the backstage choreography of when do I get that drink, of when do I do that costume change in order to keep the rhythm of the show flowing for an audience every night. Yeah.
Now, Ben, Stephanie mentioned that you were the standby for Brian D'Arcy James in Shrek the Musical. How had you gotten the job?
how I got the standby job? I was just auditioning, just like every other actor who was trying to go in for the part. I'd gone in about three or four times and had heard, it went really well, expect another callback. And then I remember the next day my agent called me and said, hey, they want you to cover Shrek in Shrek the Musical.
Well, that show required a lot of costume changes and makeup. So were you made up every night?
I fortunately was not. I didn't have to do it every night. But we did have a couple scary moments where, Brian was sick and he there was a chance that he wasn't going to finish the show. And I remember getting made up in the chair as the makeup people had a chance. Every opportunity they had downtime, they came in and put the makeup on me and everything. And I just sat kind of being ready to go on. And I didn't have to, but, you know, it is that kind of, you know, be ready at a moment's notice.
And you have to stay for the whole show.
For most of the show, I probably had to stay for about 75 to 80% of the show. And there's a moment where, you know, if he can get through this, then the rest of it's easy enough where he could finish the show.
Now, as a standby, is your job to kind of mimic the actor's performance as closely as possible?
In some aspects, it is. I mean, you want to keep the show the same that everyone else has been accustomed to. But, you know, that's also to say you don't want to be a robot as well. You need to infuse it with yourself, but also pay respect to what the original actor has done as well.
And then what happens when you go on and do it yourself? Can you make it your own?
Exactly. Then it's your own time to kind of make it your own thing and to delve a little deeper if you'd like. And it was a great opportunity.
Kim Hunter was on the show many years ago and talked about being in Streetcar with Marlon Brando. And then when Marlon went on vacation, it was Anthony Quinn who was preparing to do the national tour. And she said that it was a crazy experience for her because Marlon took it slowly and Anthony Quinn did the same role very quickly. And so she was really tap dancing to keep up with him. I'd imagine that's a problem as well. When you take over something, you're obviously not going to do the complete rhythms that the other person did.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So when you took over the role, did someone else have to be your standby?
Yes. And then I was brought up as the Shrek, and then they hired Eric Peterson as my standby. So I had a standby then.
And did he ever get to go on?
He did for me. Yes, he got to go on a couple times during my time on stage. Yes, he did. Yeah.
And you did the national tour as well.
I did not actually. Eric did.
Oh,
yes.
So it was kind of a hand-me-down job.
Sure, yes.
Now, Lady, you mentioned that actors who are especially versatile are often on demand as swings. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have a few times. Yes.
How did you feel about that?
Well, it's challenging. You really have to be on top of where people are because if you're in the wrong place, you might get hit by a set. You might hurt somebody else. So you have to really be paying attention, which, if you have ADD, that might be difficult. But, so it was a challenge, which was fun and a great educational experience. And I'm good with that now.
Well, in the film, we see you at work on a show with Bette Midler. Mm-hmm. Weren't you originally hired as one of the Harlettes?
I was,
the backup singers?
Yes, I got to do a concert with her at the Met, which was amazing.
But then you were demoted to standby?
Yeah, basically.
Was that an ego pressure?
Oh, are you kidding me? Completely. She decided she wanted her old girls back, and one of them, two of us were new. One of the girls wasn't available, and the other girl whose track that I was in, who's, you know, she'd been on tour with her, was available. And so they asked me to stay. I mean, they didn't want to lose me, but of course, that was a total ego crusher. But, you know, you just have to.
But it didn't stop you from working with Bette Midler.
No, I sucked it up. I knew that it was a great opportunity to learn, and I sure did learn a lot, so I'm grateful for the opportunity.
My guests are Elena Waters, Ben Crawford, two people who qualify as standbys. They are in a film called The Standbys, which is directed by Stephanie Riggs and opens this Friday at the Quad Cinema. Stephanie, the third actor you mentioned was Merwin Ford, who was the standby for Nathan Lane in Adam's Family and has been working as a standby for a long time. He seems to be okay with being a standby. Most standbys want to be the star eventually. He's made a profession of being a standby?
He has. And I think in speaking with Merwin, he has, there are choices that he will even say that he has made to be a supporter for his family. There are roles that he couldn't take that if he had said, I will only be a leading man from here on out, he wouldn't have been able to support his wife, his two daughters. And his family has been very supportive of him taking these roles. And I think when you hear Merwin sing and you see the phenomenal people that he's covered, you realize that his talent, just like Ben and Elena here, is Broadway caliber, absolutely. But that's not, do you want to be a star or do you want to have a career? And Merwin's chosen a career.
Well, can an actor make a decent living as a standby, even if they never get to go on the stage?
Ben, Elena?
Absolutely.
Definitely. I mean, it's great money.
Well, it's got to be the cushiest job in the world.
Well, in some senses it is. I mean, it's nice that, I guess, like you said, I mean, it can be cushy. But then there's also that interesting situation of the fact that you're so close, but you're not doing it every night. And that, I think, as an artist can become a little frustrating.
Yeah.
So is it sometimes a choice an actor has to make whether to take a great role in an off Broadway show that pays next to nothing or a standby gig on Broadway to pay the bills?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of depends on the situation. But
personal choice.
Yeah, it can be a personal choice, a career move, where you're at in your life, but... Yeah, I mean, it's a big choice.
And being a standby is a great opportunity to watch somebody who probably has, a lot more experience than you when you're first getting into it. So that's definitely an honor and great to experience.
And as Stephanie points out, you got to be good enough to be a star on Broadway to even be the standby because you're going to be carrying a show.
Absolutely.
Stephanie, you interviewed a number of well-known performers like B.B. Newworth and David Hyde Pierce. Have most actors worked as understudies or standbys at some point in their careers?
It's a very esteemed list of people that have once been understudies or standbys on Broadway, even. I interviewed over 50 people, and a lot of them didn't make it into the cut just because, for me, this was a narrative story about these three performers and the interviews. You want it to flow as part of the story, and we want to connect with these performers. But B.B., David... Cheyenne, Sutton, Foster, they all understand and respect the tremendous challenge that understudies and standbys have. And I think whereas perhaps in popular culture you have the idea of the understudy wants something to happen to the lead, these performers know that this is part of the mentoring and the passing on of all that you learn performing live.
Isn't it also difficult when you finally do get to go on because you have to play to an audience that's full of people who came to see Brian D'Arcy James or Nathan Lane? How do you win them over?
Well, I think it's important to be in the right frame of mind when you're doing it. Is that thing is you're not them. You have to do your own thing, and I kind of welcome the. Well, who's this? What's he going to do? It's like, well, let me show you. Why don't you sit back down? Let me show you what we're going to do today. You got to kind of use that as motivation to prove them wrong.
Well, there's a show business myth of the understudy who takes over for the stricken lead and then becomes an instant star in the process, sometimes by backstabbing, like in All About Eve. Mm-hmm. How often has that actually happened?
I've heard stories of the old days, but I feel like that doesn't really happen so much. It's really become a family, and I feel like we look up and respect each other, whether we're the lead or we're the standby, because there's so much to learn and offer to each other.
Yeah, and it's so vital as the standby. You have to appreciate that person who covers you because, they allow you when you're sick and you don't feel well, they give you the chance to stay home and rest and get better.
Have you ever gotten a job because someone saw you as a standby?
I'm sure I've gotten auditions for it, just being in Shrek and things like that. It's a great opportunity to go on. It gives you notoriety and allows you to show people what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elena, after that Bette Midler experience, you vowed to never work as a standby again. Have you kept that vow?
Oh, actually not as a standby, as a swing.
Uh-huh.
I I am realistic and happy if standby or understudy work is something that's meant for me, great. It's a learning process. But I do not wish to be a swing again. I've done it. I've paid those dues. And I'm hoping to continue moving onward and upward.
Well, you've had your own successful one-woman show. You also were in the hit musical Sister Act.
Yes.
So in retrospect, do you see your experience as a standby as a positive thing?
Absolutely. I think everything is a learning experience, and my swing and standby experiences also help me to, ego-wise, because, being in this business, we have to really focus on ourselves, but there are so many talented people. I think it's helped to give me a positive attitude.
Well, before you go, proportionally, how many shows, let's begin with you, Ben, have you just had a part, and how many times have you been a standby?
Well, I've only actually stood by for Shrek. I've understudied in my other two Broadway credits I covered, but I was only a standby in Shrek.
And then everything else that you've been in, that you've just got the part.
I haven't gotten the part, but I have been in the show and haven't had
the part that you played.
Yes, yes, yes.
You were John Wilkes Booth in Assassins. That was an important part.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It wasn't Lincoln.
It wasn't Lincoln. No, thankfully, I had a little more stage time.
And you, Elena?
I've only been a standby for Karen Olivo, for Anita in West Side Story on Broadway. And I've been a swing and an understudy off-Broadway and regionally. And otherwise, I had a nice ensemble feature in Sister Act, and I got to, help my understudies. So. Yeah.
Now, I must admit that until I saw this film, I didn't realize that there were big distinctions between understudies, standbys, mm-hmm. and wasn't even sure there was a thing called a swing.
Right.
And the film is a lot of fun. Of course, you got three really interesting people as your subjects. Thank you so much for being on our show. Stephanie Riggs.
Thank you.
Who is the director of The Standbys, which opens this Friday at the Quad Cinema in Greenwich Village. And two of the three standbys featured in the film, Ben Crawford and Elena Waters. It's been a pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you so much.
Pleasure.